I'm going to read a few verses to you now from the last chapter in the Bible. You know, a few weeks ago, it was my wife's birthday, and I gave her a nice book. And she was very pleased about that. But do you know what I caught her doing? I caught her reading the last chapter first. I wonder why she would do that. I guess she wanted to know how the book ended, didn't she? And today we're going to read from the last chapter in the Bible, and we're going to hear of the Lord's last words to us and his plans for this world. Let's read from chapter 22 and verse 12 to 16. Now the Lord Jesus is saying here, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star." A few weeks ago I was in Burma, and I read this portion to them in Burma to tell them and teach them that the Lord Jesus is coming soon. I was in India, and then I was in Malaysia, and then I was in Indonesia, and I found myself reading from these verses, telling the people about the final words of the Lord Jesus, that he is coming soon. And they were very, very interested. Last Sunday night I was talking from this passage too, telling people that the Lord is coming soon. We've sung about that today, haven't we? And that's very wonderful. And you know, in the Bible there are a little over 300 parts in the Bible, verses in the Bible, that talk about the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming. But here we have his last words recorded in the Bible, in the fact that he is coming. And I just want to make one or two points about the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. It is said here it is soon, and I think it would be good for us to understand one or two of the things that are going to happen when he comes back. Have you ever thought about that? Are you waiting for him to come back again? I can see some heads nodding there, and that makes me so happy. You know, one of the things that he said was that when he comes back, he said, "My reward is with me." Now, I like the word reward, but sometimes you can be rewarded for doing good things, and sometimes you can be rewarded for doing bad things. And generally we don't say you get rewarded for doing bad things, we get punished for doing bad things. But the Lord Jesus here said that when I come, my reward is with me. He is going to reward people that genuinely love him, who have asked him to forgive their sins, and they've lived a life for his glory. He's going to reward us when he comes. But I want to say this, that when he returns, it is going to be a terrible time for those that have never had their sins forgiven, to those that have never said, "Look, I believe in God, I believe I'm a sinner, and I need God's forgiveness." That is going to be a terrible, terrible time for them. You know, I can remember back a few years now, It used to be exam time at the school, and the day would come when the teacher would, or the teachers would give us our report, our school reports. Do you remember those days?
Yeah.
That's a long time. Well, I used to get those reports, and there was a happy part about it, but there was a part about my reports that always caused me to be a little bit uneasy, to be a little bit afraid. Can you imagine why? When I took my report home, who do you think asked to have a look at it? My father. And you know, he used to always see the black marks, the poor marks, any punishment that I had been given for not being, not behaving myself, and the schools that I went to, or this one in particular, gave you marks for good behavior, and black marks for bad behavior. And always my father seemed to see the black marks and the poor marks. So I used to go home with my report card feeling just a little bit anxious, a little bit afraid, and just hoping that my father would say, look, you've done good work, you've studied hard. I think he said that a few times. But he'd always spend time on the bad parts of those reports. Well, I want to say this, that I'm not feeling uneasy about the Lord's return. I'm looking forward to it very, very much. Do you know why? Because the Lord Jesus has forgiven my sins. There are no black marks against me. And when he comes, as he says down here, I know that I will be going through the gates into the city of heaven. I wonder though today, how many people here feel a little bit uneasy because they've still got some black marks in their life. And they've still got wrong things that they've done and they've never asked God to forgive them. Perhaps when you hear that the Lord Jesus is going to return and he's going to come back soon, perhaps you feel a little bit uneasy, you feel a little bit troubled, you feel a little bit scared. I want to say that, look, there is a way to have those sins removed, blotted out, buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us again. And it's through trusting in the Lord Jesus. Now, I mentioned that I was in one or two overseas countries, and in one of them, I visited a temple. And in that temple, there were a number of statues, idols, with many people kneeling and praying and worshipping and giving money to those idols. But towards the back, I noticed an old man. He would be in his 70s. He was quietly sweeping the floor, not with a nice broom like we have. And so I wanted to find out a little bit about this temple. So I began talking to him. I wasn't sure if he could speak English, but he could speak English. And I asked him what he was doing. Well, he said he was serving, in this case, Buddha. He was a Buddhist. And I said, how long have you been doing that for? And he said, look, next year, it will be my 45th year working in this temple, their pagoda they call them. He'd been doing it for almost 45 years. And I said, look, why are you doing that for? And could you explain a little bit to me about your God? Well, it was quite interesting what he had to say. And he said, look, he believed that it was possible for him to be reincarnated 31 times, and being a human being would be one of those reincarnations. And I asked him, I said, well, look, which reincarnation are you on now? Is it the 20th or the 25th or the 30th? And he said, I do not know. I don't know which reincarnation I'm going through now. Now, that made me feel very, very sad. But he also told me that if he was faithful and served this false god that could never forgive his sin, if he was faithful, perhaps he would only have to be reincarnated 20 times or 25 times. And he was working hard. He was a faithful old man, but he was trying to work to gain merit, to gain points, to gain goals, whatever you like to call it, to get into what they call Nirvana, their heaven. Now, I felt so sad. In fact, I just wanted to tap him on the shoulder and say, look, you don't have to sweep floors for 45 years to work your way into Nirvana. What did he have to do? Can somebody tell me? Look, he had to accept the free gift of salvation that the Lord Jesus offers us. You cannot work for it. It is a free gift of God, and we're told that we are saved, we are forgiven, we become Christians by God's grace through our faith, and it's not of works, lest we get proud and boast about it. And so that old man there was firmly believing that he had to work to gain enough points, if you like, to get into Nirvana. Now, don't you think that is sad? But don't you think it is so wonderful that by grace are we saved through faith? It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. They are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, in the passage that we've read, the Lord Jesus here said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What is he trying to teach us, saying that I am the Alpha and the Omega? If we were thinking of it in English, we would write that he is the A and the Z, the Alpha and Omega, the first letters and the last letters in the Greek alphabet. And he's conveying to us that he is the beginning of everything and he is the end of everything, and everything in between is in his hands and under his control. And that is what he's teaching here. And we can be assured that if somebody is the beginning of everything and the everything that happens in between and the end of this world's history, then we can be assured that we are safe and secure in his hands if we come to him and through his grace take the free gift of salvation as we confess our sins to him. We can be assured that he will forgive us and remove our sins from us and never charge us again with them. Now, he also says here in verse 14, he said, blessed are those whose robes are washed, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city, speaking of heaven. Now, this terminology is telling us quite simply that it is only clean people that are going to get into heaven. And clean people mean people who have their sins forgiven. They're the only ones that are going to get into the city. He said, outside, those who practice magic arts, those who are sexually immoral, the murderers, and remember, hating adds up to murder, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood, tells lies, takes down their brothers and their sisters and the people around them, and a whole list of things. He said, look, those people who have never had their sins forgiven will ever enter heaven. But he says here, blessed, and we're blessed by God if we are clean. No, I don't. No, I can't look into your heart. I can't look into your life. I can't look into your past. But I wonder if there's anybody here today who is not clean and who will not have the right, will not have the privilege of entering heaven when the Lord Jesus returns. That is what this passage is teaching. I wonder if there are stains in your life. I wonder if there's unforgiven sin that will be marked up against you, because we're told here that these sins that are mentioned in verse 15 and a whole long list of others will never enter the gates of heaven. They have to be removed from our lives. They have to be forgiven. They have to be confessed to God. Now, I want to say that the Bible teaches us that if we confess our sins, not work or for them, but if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to forget, confess your sins to me or another man or another priest of whatever religion. You have to confess your sins to God, because he's the one that forgives. The Lord Jesus then, if you like, signed himself off. He put his signature to these verses. He said, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Just adding to the one who can forgive us, we have a description of him here. He's the root and offspring of David. I wonder what that means. I think it simply means that he is the king eternal. David was a great king of Israel. And he's saying here that he is the eternal king and over all. And then the bright and morning star. I don't know if anybody was up early enough to see the bright and morning star this morning. I certainly wasn't. But what does that do? When we see the bright and morning star, we know that the dawn is going to happen, daybreak, the sun is going to rise shortly, and it gives us hope of a new day, hope of light and life. And he's the bright and morning star who gives us eternal hope. And look, we have eternal hope, and we can look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus without any fear, with no black marks against us, if we have confessed our sins to God and truly repented of them. I want to tell you a little story too. It's from Africa. To just illustrate the point that God is longing to forgive our sins. He loves us so much that he's longing to forgive you and to forgive me. This is a story about an African chief, and it's a story about a good African chief. There's lots of them are very, very corrupt and very, very cruel, but this chief was a good chief. He was just, and he made good, caring decisions generally. He was known to punish anyone that committed crimes in his village, and it so happened that it was reported to him that a thief had been operating and been stealing things in his village. So he called his village people together and told them what had been happening, that there was a thief working in the village stealing things, and he'd like them to confess, to own up. But nobody did, and he said, "Okay," he said, "if when we find you, well, you'll receive 10 strikes of the hippopotamus whip." Now, the hippopotamus whip is made out of sinews and layers of fat. It's round, it's very heavy. At every strike, it tears skin off the back of those that are being punished. It's a shocking punishment. But nobody owned up. And a few weeks later, he was told that more things had been stolen. He called them together and he said, this time, it'll be 20 strikes of the hippopotamus whip. But nobody owned up. A few weeks went by and there were more things stolen. He called them together again and he said, look, this time it's going to be 30 strikes with the hippo whip, the hippopotamus whip. Nobody owned up, but a few weeks later, one of his helpers, called a father of the village, he was a father of a family clan, came to him and said, look, we have found the criminal, we've found the culprit. And the chief said, look, at midday tomorrow when the sun is standing right overhead, bring the criminal and he'll receive 30 strikes of the hippo cord, of the whip, and tell everybody to come and see the punishment of this criminal. Well, people gathered the following day. They sat on the ground, and the chief sat on his chieftain's chair, and he asked for the criminal to be brought forward. And then at the back of the crowd, he heard quite a lot of talking and so on, and he could decipher the words. Will he do it? Will the chief punish the person? There was quite a lot of chattering, and you know, as they brought the criminal down the aisleway where the people were sitting outside, he recognized his old mother. His old mother was the criminal. She was the thief. And of course the people were saying, will he whip his mother? Will he give his mother 30 strikes of the hippopotamus whip? Will he tear the skin from her back and punish her? She's his mother. But the chief, told them to tie her to the whipping post. And he asked one of the men to come forward to give the 30 strikes. And then he stood up from his chieftain's chair. He took off his chieftain robes. He went across to the whipping post. And he laid himself across his mother. His arms across her arms. His whole body covering her body. And he said to the person who was going to administer the punishment, give me 30 of the best. And his poor mother was crying out, look, don't do it for me, don't do it for me, I don't deserve it. But her son took those 30 stripes. He covered her body. She deserved them, but he bore the punishment for her. And he suffered greatly through that. Now look, that is just a tiny illustration of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We were sinners. We deserve God's judgment, every one of us. We deserve hell for all eternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. He died on Calvary's cross. He took the punishment that was rightfully ours. Can you imagine how that old mother would have been so thankful to her son? Don't you think she would be thanking him? No doubt she felt ashamed too. But look, her son bore that shocking punishment. And look, the Lord Jesus bore that punishment. And he's saying, look, to have your sins forgiven now is a free gift. You have to confess them, you have to repent of them. And I want to say this, that the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that flowed at Calvary's cross will more than cover your sins and my sins. God sees them no longer, but he sees us as righteous. If the Lord Jesus was to come today, do you hold any fears of meeting him? Do you have any unconfessed sins? Are you covered in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus? Are you clean? If you're not clean, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and you quietly ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and cover you in his forgiveness, so that when he returns, he'll find you in washed robes and he will find you clean and forgiven.